Hi, welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Keith Woods, Dean of Faculty at the Poynter Institute. I'm here with Shireen Chatta, Director of the Tampa Brahmakumaris. Today we're talking about power, real and perceived. Shireen, when people talk about power, most often they talk about it in terms of station in life. They talk about it in terms of titles, money even. But you're talking about something very different when you talk about power. What do you mean?
When I'm talking about power, or what I call actually real power, is the power which builds a strength of character, and also the power that I'm able to control and command my mind in a way that I can be happy and peaceful in all circumstances.
Happy and peaceful through power?
Through this kind of power. There is a strength of mind. There is a power that you can actually control the mind where you can be happy and peaceful in all circumstances.
And you distinguish that real power from perceived power. How?
Perceived power is like a mirage. You go towards it, and just like a mirage, you work, and you arrive there, and there's nothing. And in the same way, perceived power, or power that I perceive that either people have over me or that the control it has over me in terms of happiness and peace, all of that perception of power that I feel is what is controlling, for example, the stock market. Every time the stock market goes up, my level of security goes up if I'm invested in the stock market.
Right.
Every time the stock market goes down, my level of security goes down. And so it's perceived because it's very much dependent on external factors, and the power is not there.
Well, the fact of the matter is that if the stock market goes down, I've lost something if I'm invested in the stock market. So it isn't my imagination.
Yes, no, it is not your imagination, but not necessarily that you've lost something, though. Because I feel that all of us, every single person in this planet, is working for peace and happiness. What at that point is my perception is that the stock market, or the money that I get from my stock market, or the money that I perceive to get from the stock market, because many times you don't take it out, is going to give me happiness. But what I'm saying is that happiness is not only, that power is not only perceived, but that happiness is also illusionary, because it doesn't really give you long-lasting, sustainable happiness, because it's so dependent on external factors.
But all of this is perception. Whether I have real power or perceived power, it all resides in some kind of way in my mind. But according to this definition, if I have a title, don't I have power?
If you have a title, your power is only as much as everyone around you who's going to accept that title. For example, you're the Dean of Faculty at the Poynter Institute. Only the people who know the Poynter Institute, the people who are working for you, understand your title and your power. For everyone else, it doesn't matter. But let's say you take out all of those people, then you don't have power.
But in that world, do I? Or is that even that power perceived?
No, the reason actually I'm saying a power is perceived or real is that if it fluctuates, or if it is dependent on someone else recognizing it within me, or someone else recognizing my title, then it's illusionary, that it's not sustainable, because I'm so dependent on external factors. And the reason why I'm calling the other one real power is because I can actually control it. I don't need to go anywhere outside of myself to gain happiness and peace, that I can do it just within myself.
So the connection that you're making here between happiness and peace and power is that if no matter what I control or think that I control, if I'm not happy, if I'm not peaceful, none of the other things matter.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you really think about it, is there any other reason why you would do something apart from happiness and peace? Or, you know, happiness which would include contentment and, like, let's say you, whatever it is you're doing, whether it's a family, whether it's a job, whatever it is, you finally, the outcome is you want peace and happiness. And so the real power is this ability to control my mind in a way that I'm able to have that.
You talk some about the power that external forces have over you if you accept that you don't have, that you're weak, that you're incapable of accomplishing something. All of those things are surrendering power to someone else?
I think what I'm doing at that point is I'm surrendering power to my own insecurities and my own fears. And that is one, I call them termites. Termites that eat up real power. Termites that eat up real power is in a way that it goes in, it eats it up, and you don't even know it's eating it up. And before you know it, there's just dust lying around.
and so
in this way, this fear and this insecurity, my own fear and my own insecurity, when I don't realize my own power, my own innate power, my own capacity to accomplish things, my own capacity to be happy, my own capacity to face things, my own capacity to give under all circumstances, my own capacity to cooperate. When I don't realize that, then I succumb kind of to these weaknesses. And so it's not necessarily that I'm surrendering it to an outside force even before someone else comes into the picture. I'm surrendering it to my own fear.
But there are lots of situations, and people, I think, when they talk about power, think about it in very real terms as the ability of someone else to dictate something very important over them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take doctors,
right.
or health systems, have the ability to have the ability to determine whether you get a particular quality of healthcare or not. If I am the person in need of the healthcare, and the system, the healthcare system, the health insurance, the company, the doctor, whoever it is, has the ability to give it or not, don't they have power?
At this point, I really feel we have to trust. And if truth is on our side in this particular case, and also there's a trust in a higher power, in a divine source, I think we will get what we need at the time of need. That there has to be this trust that what I need will come to me. There's this story, actually, in the Indian scriptures. It's not that famous a story, but it's one of my favorite stories, and I really like it. And where there's this young princess, and this princess was her dad was a very, very big king, and she didn't have to do anything. She was a real princess, and he was a big monarch and all of those things. And then one day he went around asking everyone in the kingdom, who's feeding you? And everyone said, your highness, you're feeding me. But his daughter said, I'm eating for my own fortune. And so he said, okay, then leave. If you're eating from your own fortune, go eat it somewhere else. And so a few years down the road, he's walking in the neighboring kingdom and he sees this huge mansion and he loves the architecture of the mansion. And so he goes and knocks on the door and he says, and his daughter opens. And she says, how did you acquire all of this? And so she says, I'm eating from my own fortune. And so we have to, whether it's a healthcare system or whether it's my boss telling me I have a job or not job, there has to be an acceptance that I really am eating from my own fortune. There has to be that trust.
What does that mean to be eating from your own fortune in this case?
That every one of us really come with an abundance of good fortune. you know, the fact that I'm here, the fact that we are healthy, the fact that we have good families, the fact that everything is my fortune, is that we are very blessed. And so to be able to accept that and live in that state of blessing. And so when I feel that is reality, and that's why I was calling it real power. I think the illusion is when I am giving into this thing that the healthcare system decides something. Whatever is my due will come to me, and I have to trust that my due is actually quite abundant, that there is abundance and my due is quite abundant, because it is, because everything so far in our lives have gone right.
There are times in our lives when you are faced with, and again using the same example, you're faced with a situation in which you feel that the way that the healthcare system is treating you is not fair.
Uh-huh.
And if I accept that it's my due, that's
right.
and that whatever will come my way will, does that stop me from rising up and protesting? Does it stop me from, how do I know when my due is supposed to take me in that direction, or to quietly accept what it is that I've been provided?
To quietly accept is, I feel, never an option. That we have to do our bit. For example, my personal story, now I'm going through with the healthcare system of it not providing, that I have to take steps. I have to take steps to prove whatever it is. And sometimes the truth could really be a very practical thing on your side. Because, for example, right now, my insurance company is trying to prove something I have is a pre-existing condition. And I know, and it is the truth, that it is not a pre-existing condition. And so that truth also, that very practical truth also will play for you. And so, but we have to go about proving that. We can't just sit back and say, whatever is my due will come. After we do the actions, after we do whatever we need to do, and then we have to let the laws of the universe, we have to trust the laws of the universe that what's due will come to me.
Now, if over the course of time, I'm inclined to suffer the slings and arrows of someone else's power,
mm-hmm.
How do I get into the practice of something different? How do I get to the place where I can accept that it will work itself out?
You know, I always hear this phrase, knowledge is power. And I feel it is power. And you can see on a very gross level that knowledge is power, let's say, for example, in the computer world. If you have technological knowledge, then you have power, you get the right jobs. If you have military intelligence, you can do a lot of damage. and so it is power in a way. But also, if you take that, if you extend that, and if you have acquired knowledge about your eternal true identity, of who you are, who am I? Who do I belong to? Why am I here? What am I doing? If I really authentically and truly answer those questions and get into the knowledge about myself. And so every time I want to succumb to my fears or my insecurities or cast other people in roles, then I have to go back to that knowledge of the self, that knowledge of who I am in my true identity.
Cast people in roles superior to you?
Not necessarily. I feel every day we go around auditioning people for roles. And many times people cast you for roles you haven't even auditioned for, but they've auditioned it in their mind. And so, for example, if someone wants to play the victim, right, they'll go around auditioning for people for a tyrant. So whoever, if you're the authority figure in their life, then you're the tyrant because they want to play victim. And so unconsciously, we all audition other people in our lives for these roles. And so we have to be, every time I want to succumb to that. So actually when you were talking about other people having power over us, if I stop auditioning myself for victim roles or martyr roles or whatever it is, and know that I will be victorious, that I will be successful, you know, the true archetype of a hero. And so if I think of myself as the hero, that I will be victorious, I will be successful, that's the hero's journey, right? In any movie, the hero is always successful. And so if I completely accept and sit in that and have faith in that, that I am a hero and I will be successful, then all of these things won't matter.
It sounds easy. Like, I want to be a millionaire, so I'll just wait for the millions to hit me. And I know it's not easy.